Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
How's your head today?
Excuse me?
How's your head today?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah?
Shouldn't it be?
Well, you know, you had a day off yesterday, didn't you? 4 day week, etc., etc.
Had a client call yesterday morning,
which meant I couldn't join you.
I mean, don't judge everyone by your own standards.
You make the most of it. You wait till Uncle Barclay gets hold of you. He'll have you back in the office. Your feet won't touch the ground. He'll have you working your fingers to the bone.
You're loving the idea of that, aren't you?
I am, yes, since I've been in the office throughout the pandemic, haven't been hiding at home like some people.
Well, you've been in the office some of the time. You've done your 3 hours a day in the office, that's true. And then the rest of the time you're on the Rose down at the beach.
If only, that would be lovely. Markets, we're not looking terribly good at the moment. Some London closed up fractionally, but a fairly big drop on Wall Street.
Yeah, sentiment certainly remains fragile. Yesterday we had positive quarterly earnings from retail bellwethers in the United States. Optimism that the reopening of the economy will spur growth, but that's being offset by a pickup in virus cases in parts of Asia. Concerns about inflation and valuation. Stock 600 rose 0.2% in Europe yesterday. Travel and leisure actually the best performing sector. I think Europe set to allow British travellers to return, I think, later today, which will be good news there.
Is it good news?
Well, why isn't it good news?
Well, it's the amber list, isn't it? And they're saying that you shouldn't go there unless you have to, but then everyone's going to go anyway.
This is true. There should be clearer rules. You're absolutely right. I mean, if you tell people you can go, but you shouldn't go, I mean, you know, that basically saying people will go, I think you're absolutely right.
Not to mention the queuing at customs as well.
Yep, very true. It's going to be a bumpy, a turbulent road for many travellers as the world starts to normalise. But let's hope we move slowly but surely towards that. On Wall Street, US stocks declined for a second day. Losses steepened in the final 15 minutes of trading. S&P 500 was down 0.9%. NASDAQ was off 0.6%. Focus will be on the Federal Reserve minutes today, though the weaker November non-farm payroll taking some of the pressure off the FOMC after inflation printed at its highest rate since 2008.
How long do you think Amazon's going to be allowed to go around hoovering up any kind of business it wants? I mean, this latest talk, they're going to buy MGM Studios for $9 billion. I mean, where's it going to stop?
Yeah, it's true. They're becoming aggressive in a number of different areas. Certainly, obviously, becoming a dominant football. Well, dominant's probably taking it too far. Considerable force in terms of retailing. Very strong in terms of things like cloud computing. Lots of other bets elsewhere. And obviously, content is incredibly important. Amazon's done very well with its Prime service. The key part of that is its video content. Looking to assure that pipeline of new content coming through by potentially bidding, as you say, hasn't been confirmed by any means for MGM, which would give them access to a catalogue of films, including James Bond and the Rocky franchises, amongst others.
So what would happen, for example, if Amazon were to make a sudden bid for Tesco's? Would the Monopolies Commission get involved in that?
Well, they would certainly look at it, one would suspect, given the potential control they would have of the market. But yeah, I think it's how they use that power as well that's going to be increasingly important. We've seen perhaps a more aggressive approach being sounded out by the Biden administration that could infringe upon the hopes and the power of many of these big e-commerce giants from the United States. So that regulatory backdrop is certainly becoming much tougher for many of these companies, although they continue to use their power to gain market share in a range of different ways.
Well, that's it, because I mean, if nothing is done to limit their power, we could get to a point where everything in the world is controlled by three or four giant companies.
I think we're far from that point yet, so I don't think we need to be overly concerned, but no doubt regulators will be looking at
it. I don't know. I mean, say Microsoft have a wobble and Apple starts to get interested in them. I mean, what's to prevent them sort of buying Microsoft if the price is right? Well, you just don't know, do you?
I don't know how the valuations would work out and the potential. Is that your pitch for today, that Apple are going to buy Microsoft?
No, I'm just saying, but the more power these companies gain, especially Amazon, which is just buying everything, the more firepower they have to sort of buy other companies that are a bit smaller than them.
There's some big disruptive forces out there, and technology is accelerating that process. And in many ways, that is good. Consumers are benefiting from it. Companies are benefiting from it. You have to adapt, or you will die. There's no doubt about that. It's a ruthless world that we're living in, and the speed of change is probably quicker than we've ever seen before, given the role of technology. So many positives, but as you say, regulators will need to be looking at the potential unintended consequences of many of these deals.
Well, I hope if Amazon want world domination, they have invested too much in Bitcoin.
Bitcoin not looking good. The world's largest cryptocurrency has dropped around 40% from its record of almost $65,000 and was trading below $40,000 yesterday for the first time since February. This is as Tesla said, said the car maker wouldn't accept Bitcoins as payment. Elon Musk followed up with comments criticizing the environmental cost of mining the tokens. Earlier this week, the People's Bank of China in a statement reiterated that digital tokens can't be used as a form of payment, highlighting some of the regulatory risks. As you know, we've been cautious for some time. Not everyone's agreed with that view, but I think given the outsized volatility, we've seen plenty of examples of that, but particularly over the course of the past few weeks. Poor store of value from a currency perspective, inability to value from an investment perspective, lack of those ESG credentials, regulatory and security risk. For us, Bitcoin continues to be uninvestable.
Retail sales day, so it was quite good yesterday. Walmart reporting pretty good results, but unfortunately, as far as Wall Street went, that was offset by telecom stocks and weak housing data, sir.
Exactly right. The numbers from Walmart actually were pretty good. Blockbuster set of figures for the first quarter. Demand was boosted by stimulus checks given to Americans. And of course, e-commerce business continues to drive sales. Retail giants said first quarter sales surged 6% to $93 billion. Operating profit jumped 27% to $5.5 billion. Online business doing very well. Sales there increased 37%. Walmart are optimistic and said the improvement they've seen since the start of the year should continue, saying its shoppers want to get out and they want to shop. They're anticipating pent-up demand will continue throughout the course of this year. Walmart shares up around about 3.5% yesterday on the update, or up around about 13% year-to-date.
And what are you reading into the latest UK unemployment data, sir?
It was a good set of numbers, actually. UK unemployment falling faster than expected between January and March as the numbers of employees on payrolls increased for a fifth month in a row and hiring accelerated. Adding to the evidence, UK economy is recovering and is gaining momentum as more sectors open. Unemployment rate fell to 4.8% in the first quarter, and for the first time since the pandemic began, employment rates rose 75.2%, still 1.4 percentage points lower than just before the coronavirus took hold. Still means 772,000 people don't have jobs compared to the pre-pandemic levels. But I think improving labour market should help support consumption and in turn growth prospects. We've been upgrading our growth forecast for the UK economy, now see growth around 5.9% for this year.
Shall we wait and see what happens when the furlough scheme finally comes to an end?
Well, that's going to be absolutely key, isn't it? I was writing about that actually on a report yesterday. This return to work rate will be incredibly important. Vast numbers of employees around the world have been sheltered from the potential devastating impact of the coronavirus due to furlough programs and job retention schemes in various countries at various different rates. It'll be very interesting to see how quickly companies rehire workers or take them back full time, and that will determine, as you say, employment rates and in turn consumption expectations. I think if you look at the US, the expectation is that we'll continue to see that momentum return to that recovery in the US labor market. A bit of a disappointing number for the non-farm payroll figure last month. The UK looking better. If you look at peak unemployment expectations, they've come down considerably. They were somewhere around about 9% as we go into the pandemic in terms of fears. Maybe it's going to be less than 6%, we now think. Europe, I think, will see elevated unemployment levels for a prolonged period of time. That recovery taking much longer.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar looking strong this morning, 142. Euro dollar coming in at 122.5. You're going to get €1.16 for your British pound this morning.
Very matter-of-fact this morning.
Quite professional, I thought.
Yeah.
Tell you that, don't you?
You sound a bit tired, actually.
No. Never.
You should go to bed earlier.
I wouldn't mind.
Right, talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts from Barclays.